Today on Hoops 360, we react to Stephanie White's pregame statement and the Fever backing it up on the court. We highlight the number one links and are the Washington Mystics getting hot at the right time? Plus, Alisha Gray joins the show to discuss playoff aspirations. Stay right here.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Hoops 360. We are back with another jam-packed episode because it's been a busy week in the WNBA with great on-court action and some battles of heavyweights in this league and, of course, some off-court conversation as well. So we will get into all of that, the culture war that continues to hover around the WNBA and Kathy Engelbert's response to it. We'll also do a full breakdown of all of the winners that we have seen from this week because, trust me, there are plenty of them. And we also, last but very, very not least, Atlanta Dream guard Alisha Gray will join in the show. She'll break down the Dream's playoff push, how different this season might feel compared to previous years, and what she has in store during the World Cup break. So let's get into it. She is Cassandra Negley. I am Caroline Fenton. She is Yahoo Sports lead WNBA reporter. You can find all of her opinion and all of her league breakdowns on yahoosports.com. Cass, let's start in with what we saw last night, Tuesday night, in the WNBA. One of the most fun first halves of basketball that I think I have watched in a really, really long time at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Liberty, Fever. Fever get the win 106-92. And that offense, all game long, but specifically in the first half, could not have been stopped. We had Kelsey Mitchell put up a team-high 28 points with 4-for-4 from the three-point line. Caitlin Clark was absolutely unstoppable as well. 22 points, 10 assists. She now has herself more 20-point, 10-assist games than a lot of teams do in the WNBA. A lot of words there. I was just trying to make sure I put that together correctly. Overall, the Indiana Fever just had an offensive firepower of a night against the New York Liberty. What were some of your takeaways?
Well, I thought of you pretty much out of the gate because Caitlin Clark comes down 15 seconds into the game. The defender just, for whatever reason, is sagging so deep off of her. And that's why you don't sag off Caitlin. She steps back. She drains a three. And I had told you and Jay Busby last week that when Caitlin hits an early three, you kind of have a feeling it's going to be a long night. And it was. It felt like right out of the gate, specifically in that first half, the Fever were playing for something. And we're going to get into what happened before the game with Stephanie White. But you felt that kind of FM energy, like, we're doing this for a reason. We're going to show you. And it felt like another game, to your point, very fun offense. This is a fun team to watch when everyone's clicking and it's someone different popping up at different moments. This is a very good basketball team. They take down the Liberty again. They show themselves as easily a championship ceiling contender. When they can put it all together like they do last night, watch out for the Fever. That was my biggest takeaway.
That last night on Tuesday, this is on Wednesday, hi. Last night was on full display. The exact formula for how the Indiana Fever can win a championship. And it's what we've been talking a lot on this show. We know that this Fever offense is historic, that this Fever offense is on course to be the highest scoring offense in the history of the WNBA. When Caitlin Clark is hitting the way that she was, Kelsey Mitchell, of course, that offensive two-headed monster between Caitlin and Kelsey. And you also add on top of the fact that you got double-digit point games from both Monique Billings and Sophie Cunningham off the bench. And oh yeah, by the way, Aaliyah Boston is adding 19 points to that as well. You had five different players in double digits last night. So we know that's what the Fever can do well and can do well consistently. And that is score at an incredibly high clip. We know they can do that well. But what we also saw from the Fever last night was a certain defensive effort. Two steals from Kelsey Mitchell is the best defensive performance I've seen from her in a long time. And look, they still gave up 92 points to the New York Liberty, but we have never said that the Fever we've never said the Fever defense needs to be elite. We have just said the Fever defense needs to be average. get a couple of stops, create a few more offensive opportunities, get a couple of turnovers. Doesn't need to be great, doesn't need to be elite, doesn't need to be historic, just be middle of the road because the offense will take care of it the rest of the way. That's exactly what we saw on full display last night. Elite offense, good enough defense against another playoff contending team in the New York Liberty. We just saw the exact formula. I'm not going to say that the Fever will win a championship. I'm not going to say that on August 12th, but that is how they do it if they will.
The thing about the Fever's offense is as long as you can like play that defense occasionally, you get a few stops, they can get down the court so quickly and drain a three. Like if Caitlin gets a step into the paint, and you saw this multiple times with the Liberty defense, and it was so clear that the Liberty defense did not have the right personnel to keep everyone or almost anyone in check. Because as soon as Caitlin gets a step into the paint, everyone's collapsing into her and she has all of these options and she has the vision to do it. At first, when they put Han Shu on her, I was like, okay, this is a good move. Switch it up, put some length on her. She had a little bit of success. And then Caitlin steps back and hits a three over. She hits a three over Stewie again. Like, it was just all moving offensively. They can score so quickly. And if you're the Liberty and you can't score early with them, you're going to find yourself in a hole that you cannot climb out of. And I think to your point defensively, what I've seen out of the Fever is they're very good at just getting a hand on the ball, getting into the passing lanes, and then someone can grab it and pick it up. They do seem to have, for the most part, they've had lapses. They do seem to have eyes on those loose balls. And that was what we saw in that loss to the Aces last week, where they couldn't get to the loose ball. Chelsea Gray grabs it and she sends it to overtime. And then, of course, the Aces go on to win the game. But you're right, like just little pieces of defense. And I think it clearly showed with another win against New York that this is a team ascending at the right time. And Steph White talked about that afterward. There's still work to do, but they're coming together at the right time. It takes time.
It does take time. Let the Aces' path to a championship last year be the best example of sometimes things just take time to click. And right now, the Indiana
Fever. That has traumatized all of us. Like, none of us are willing to say anything because it's like, well, the Aces came back from pretty far out.
For all of the people that are like, I'm disappointed in you for writing the Aces off last year, please know nobody's more disappointed in me than me. All right? I get it. I acknowledge it. I'm a changed woman because of the way that the season went last year. But no doubt the Indiana Fever are playing their best brand of basketball right now. You bring up Stephanie White, and I'm glad that you did, because it wasn't just the offensive firepower that we saw last night from the Indiana Fever and a huge win that we saw from the Indiana Fever. It was also Stephanie White who was making headlines, because in a pregame conversation that she had with the media at the podium, she had this to say.
No, I'm going to start today. You know, this isn't necessarily for those people that are in this room. This is more for an online community that's trying to create narratives that simply don't exist. Trying to create a fabrication or distortion of who I am, of what I'm about. Our player success, our players' health and wellness, our players' safety is always a top priority for me. One of the things I pride myself on is my relationships with players. For those who have anything to say about the play in the last game, I didn't see the play in real time. I went straight to a press conference. I thought the play got called right. Thankfully, Sophie's okay. Was it egregious? Absolutely. When you have a chance to watch that over and over and over on replay, you can see that. I didn't have that in real time.
Were there any
I take personally any suggestions that I don't 100% always have my players back. I ride with them 10 toes down all the time. All the time. They know that. It's a shame that we can't have an opportunity to talk about what great basketball they're playing. Because they are f***ing playing. The reality is, with me, I will always lead with love. I will always lead with grace. I will always lead with humility. And I will always lead with integrity. Doesn't mean I'll always get it right. I'm also human. The hate, the fear-mongering, the divisiveness, the stuff that's trying to hijack our league will not win. It won't win. We are united. We are connected. We will not be divided. Every day these women put their ass on the line. Every day. When they go low, we go high. Love will win. Grace will win. Humility will win. And kindness will win. I stand by them. I will always stand by them. Everybody else can go to hell.
And Cass, that has made rounds, that has made headlines on websites across sports media, on social media as well. And she didn't parse any words. Fear-mongering, divisiveness, people trying to hijack our league. Stephanie White is drawing a very clear line in the sand that all of the off-court conversation, the political discourse that has been happening surrounding the WNBA, not just the last week, because the last week's been pretty brutal, but really over the entire last calendar year, the way that it feels like the WNBA has been a vehicle to push forward political agendas. Stephanie White not mincing any words there. Your reaction to what she had to say.
Yeah, I'll get into like that tone of it. But I think the first thing that I took away from it was, first of all, we've heard from the Fever a lot that it's a tight locker room. They don't pay attention to the outside noise. And that can be mostly true. But you still have family who read things online. You have friends. These things do get to you at a certain point. They do find their way in. And I think last night, Steph White coming up saying she was going to start, she had something to say, going for 2 minutes and then walking out with the fists on the table and just the emotion we don't usually see from Steph. Mm-hmm. Clearly, they know what's going on and they have had enough. This has been continuous. We saw Caitlin Clark talk a few weeks ago about attacks on her character, and that seemed to be what really got me. I think it was maybe under the radar for a lot of people that earlier in the day when I signed on to the lovely social media apps that we must pay attention to, there was a little news thing at the bottom that Steph White had been fired by the Indiana Fever. Now, I know that this is incorrect, that this is not true, but I think that is just an absurd disconnect that we're seeing. Anyone can take these graphics and make it look like the Fever have announced something, or they say something and it starts to spread and it becomes a bigger thing. So I think that played into a little bit, and we saw that with a statement from the Fever saying that they stand behind Steph. I think also, though, like for Stephanie White, this is a coach who cares deeply about her players. And I say that as someone who has covered her since her time in Connecticut. This is also a league that, to Steph's point, has taken a lot of hits over its 30-year history. It used to be kind of in vogue, if you will, for a columnist or a writer to put the WNBA down, you know, to say negative things about it. And I had a player tell me many years ago, about 2022, that they were always a little cautious about interview opportunities, you know, or new reporters coming in to talk to them, which makes sense for anyone. But for them, they always wondered, why are you here? What are you actually going to write? And I think that is still very much the case. And we're kind of seeing everyone, it's going beyond critiques at this point. And it seems like that's really what set Steph off, that you can say whatever you want about me as a coach. Maybe I ran the wrong play, or I'm not using this player correctly. And that's fair. But in terms of her care for the players and for Sophie Cunningham specifically in the play over the weekend, this is a coach who cares. That doesn't always have to be super public and open and clear to everyone in that way. But this is a coach who cares. And when you attack people like that, that's where I think, you know, especially for her and the Fever, this just all gets to be going too far.
It's been too far. Yeah. We have so many examples of things just getting to a ridiculous point. To your point, you know, when you're a coach or a player and you have a platform like Stephanie White has, or like Caitlin Clark has, whatever it might be, you understand that you are opening yourself up to the court of public opinion. As a coach who is in your starting rotation, what decisions you might make in overtime, who's taking the final shot of a tie game in the last few seconds. You know you're going to get criticized. That's it's what you sign up for when you're a coach in any sport, and the WNBA is no different. Attacks on personal character based on very little information, based off of social media fodder and based off of assumptions is not what Stephanie White signed up for. It's not what a lot of these players signed up for, but unfortunately are at the center of. So when we hear Caitlin Clark say that she was sick when she heard Fever fans booing Stephanie White before that game yesterday, when Caitlin Clark says we have her back no matter what, I don't think that those are just words. And I don't think that's something that Caitlin Clark is saying in order just to check a PR box. I think she's saying that because she means it. And I think she's saying that because that's the culture of this locker room. Let's go back through a timeline of the Fever-centric controversies over the last couple of months. Stephanie White and Caitlin Clark's, I mean, how much time do we have? Cass, I'm going to clear your schedule for the next week. Like, Stephanie White and Caitlin Clark kind of going at it on the sidelines. We've had Sophie Cunningham making, you know, politically charged statements. We have the Dejanay Carrington foul. We have the Alyssa Thomas. How could I forget? The Alyssa Thomas foul on Caitlin Clark. I mean, however you might feel about those specific instances is your right to feel about them. I'm not going to tell you how to feel one way or another, but that I just use all of those examples to say the Fever have been at the center of so much public scrutiny, most of them not, they haven't even been because of anything of their own doing. It's just been because of the court of public opinion and the commentary that's been started on social media. So when Caitlin Clark says, we have her back no matter what, I interpreted that as we all have each other's backs no matter mm-hmm. what. I've got Sophie's back. Sophie's got Aaliyah's back. Aaliyah's got Kelsey's back. Kelsey's got Lexi's back. We've all got each other's back, because if we don't, then we've got a whole world. We've got a whole, you know, Twitter sphere that's against us. And last night's performance was the perfect example of that, that it wasn't just words. It wasn't just Caitlin Clark saying the right piece, the right things, being a mouthpiece. It was the Indiana Fever giving us a bit of a peek behind the curtain of what that locker room looks like. And we're seeing it on full display in a 106-92 win over the New York Liberty.
Yeah, and that was Steph White's point and has been her point. And I think that's been the point of Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham and Kelsey Mitchell when she spoke at length at All-Star. This is a team that we may not see for a long time again. There's no guarantee. Yeah. Well, this team, I promise you, won't look the same next year. No team looks the same next year. It is doing historic things. They're playing great basketball. Somehow that is buried all the time. I also want to make it very clear and highlight, and I appreciate this from Steph White, because Steph works in the media. She calls college games in her WNBA offseason. She's always been so media friendly. She comes up there, she sits down, she says, I'm going to start. And she says, this is not necessarily for, her direct quote is, this isn't necessarily for those people that are in this room. This is more for an online community that is trying to create narratives that simply don't exist. To me, it felt like Steph was taking an opportunity where every single media availability, especially when you are the Indiana Fever, is posted on YouTube. It is clipped around. It is little snippets are put. Screenshots are taken of players' reactions. And sometimes it's funny. And sometimes I think it's reading too much into it and all of this stuff. She takes this opportunity and she says, I'm going to use this medium for what I want to say and what I want to use it for. Thank you, media, for being here and for listening and for posting this, even though it will already be posted. But I am speaking to you all online who take one little thing and extrapolate it into something massive that is not going on. And I hope that people take that to heart. I hope people understand, and you've said this already. I know you said this morning on Yahoo Sports Daily. The criticism, the sports criticism, that's okay. That's what we're here for. You can discuss if the front office did a good job getting a backup for Aaliyah Boston, if they need someone better at the four, which Mikayla Timpson has been playing very well. You can see her coming along. That's the basketball of it. You can have those conversations. But taking these little things and spinning them into, you know, assertions about their character, that's the problem, I think, that has created all of this tension.
It's very well said by you, and it is very, very true. And it is exhausting to live in a world online that is so not representative of the actual world that we live in. And I would, you know, I would implore for everyone to just take a second, to take a deep breath, to listen to the words that are being said from the people in this league and the representatives of this league, rather than listening to the echo chamber that may exist on social media or the people who don't have this league's best interest at heart. If you actually care about this league and its members and the future of this league and the health of this league, listen to the people in this league, not online.
We're all tired, Linda.
We're all tired. I'm tired.
Sorry, Linda.
We're all tired. I'm sure.
If you're Linda and you're listening to this, email us.
Listen, Linda. Listen. Okay, what do you say we talk about some basketball coming up next?
Let's go.
Let's do it. All right, we'll get into some of the action, some of the best games of the week coming up next. All right, let's get into it. Let's focus on some basketball, some of our winners of the week. And we have to start with, other than the awesome Fever Liberty game that we got last night, we have to start with Kayla McBride. Kayla McBride with a massive career performance against the Dallas Wings. We saw Kayla McBride put up 10 threes. That is a WNBA record, 43 points. That is a career best for her in her 13th year in the league. This is what Kayla McBride had to say after the game of her life.
I don't think that you ever, like, I mean, you wake up feeling good, you know, sore or whatever, but just another opportunity to hoop. You know, it's hard playing back-to-backs. Like, you know your body's going to be tired, so it's like, how can you show up for yourself, give yourself that energy, a little bit of juice? And I thought we did that for each other. You know, I was feeding off their energy, too. You know, we're getting steals. I thought Fee played a great game on the defensive end, Tashi as well. And getting out in transition, that's when it's a lot of fun. So just feeling the energy and just trying to get a dub, you know what I mean? That's really all it was. I mean, the last time I played with, like, a true point guard was Courtney Vandersloot, and it was some of the best, like, most fun basketball that I played. And it's not that I haven't had amazing moments with Court, but like, so something about playing with like a true PG that, like, just as a shooter, you know, you get that ball in the laces with that velocity, it's just like kid in the candy store, like, truly. So I'm very grateful for that, and her ability to get to the paint and her ability in the pick and roll just creates so much for me. And, like, you know, these types of moments don't happen without that play with her and Tashi and now Adam Fee. You know, it's all about the team, you know what I mean? Like, them being so great and their gravity, and, you know, allows me to just kind of flourish in what I do. And I feel like we all feel like that. We all pull that string for each other. And that allows me to have nights like this, you know. So, yeah, of course, like, playing with a true PG, like, there's nothing like getting the ball and laces at that velocity and just being like, feels good, you know. And so I'm very grateful for that. But it's just overall, I think just what our team has been able to do, especially on the offensive end, allows me to be, you know, just right in my spot and flourish in what I do best, which is shoot the ball.
All right, Cass, what was your takeaway from the game, your takeaway from what Kayla McBride had to say right there?
I love this quote because they've kind of touched on it before. But, I mean, first of all, for Kayla McBride, if we remember back to the end of last season, that felt like the end of a very mini era for the Lynx. They had run it all back, had almost the entirely same roster. And for Kayla McBride, she's entering her 13th year. She doesn't know if this is ever going to happen for her. What does the next year look like? They come out, they get Olivia Miles, they lead the league without Fee. Fee is back. They are still leading the league. And the reason I like this quote from Kayla McBride is she's talking about how the addition of Olivia Miles makes everyone around them better. You know, to have a true point guard and an elite point guard, all due respect to Courtney Williams, it also helps Courtney Williams. you open up opportunities for a player like Kayla to do what she does best, right? You allow Fee to really operate down low. You have someone with the vision, we talk about this with Caitlin all of the time in terms of her team, to find the open shooter, you know, to get Fee into the paint, spray it out if you have to, or finish at the rim. You know, Courtney Williams had that point guard position for a couple of years in Minnesota, and they played well, clearly. They were championship favorites. But now you move her back to her more natural position. You bring in a true point guard, even though she's young, and they are simply that much better. I loved her little mention about it's like a kid in a candy store. That's absolutely what the Lynx feel like this year. It feels like 1 through 5, they might have the best starting lineup in the WNBA. We don't know what the rest of the season looks like. We don't know how the World Cup is going to impact things. The playoffs are an entirely different beast, but they are set up very, very well simply by making that trade a couple of years ago and receiving a number two pick after they were the best team in the league.
The butterfly effect to get the Lynx to this point is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
The depth of this team, the versatility of this team, the number of go-to scoring options on this team. Because, of course, Kayla McBride is going to be the story and the highlight, as she should be, in a game where she went off. And also, I would like to add, 43-point day, she took one free throw. One free throw. No disrespect to Asia Wilson's boyfriend, but when he had an 83-point day, that came in the form of like 40-something free throws. So this is like pure scoring, pure basketball.
You're not wrong, sorry, but catching strays.
I didn't know if Bam Adebayo expected to catch a stray from Hoops 360 today. And look, it's not like, I mean, it's true. It is what it is. He did take a bunch of free throws. We were stat padding a little bit, but Kayla McBride, no. Just one free throw on a 43-point day. But also, if you look below Kayla McBride, you can also see Fee putting up 17 points and 8 rebounds. Sexiest stat line of her lifetime? No, but still awfully productive. And Olivia Miles with, oh yeah, by the way, 20 points and 13 assists in a double-double day. So you have Kayla McBride, you won basketball, Kayla McBride doing her thing, you know, looking as effective and efficient as you possibly could. And also Olivia Miles and Nafisa Collier and Natasha Howard putting up double-digit points. Look, it's August 12th. We have a lot of basketball left to be played. As you mentioned, with the World Cup break, the Lynx also have the most difficult remaining schedule in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. So nothing is decisive on August 12th, but the depth of this Lynx team is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, one quick thing about Kayla McBride. I think, first of all, always be on the lookout for a snub of some sort. Mm-hmm. A lot of people felt like she was snubbed from the All-Star game. And certainly after the votes were in, she came on very, very strong. I think Cheryl Reeves' exact quote was, it was a disgrace, or it was disgraceful that she wasn't an All-Star. So that can really invigorate a player, especially down the second half. She's averaging a career-high 18.4 points per game. She's shooting about 42% from three, which is about her career-high. Like, these are elite numbers. 1.6 steals per game is another career-high. And then I think the interesting thing about the Lynx, too, is this is a team, when you talk about a big three, and we just talked about this with the Mercury adding Kelsey Plum. That's kind of like their big, big three.
Yeah.
They don't really have one, like an established one. Like, you think about coming into the season, who are your big three? The Fever, Aaliyah, Caitlin, Kelsey. Mm-hmm. The Liberty, Sabrina, JJ, Stewie, et cetera. My apologies, Stewie.
It's been a long day.
Sometimes three is just hard. But they didn't have that established big three, which traditionally think of. What they do have is, once again, a five that works incredibly well together in Cheryl Reeves' system. And again, will probably enter the playoffs with a number one seed as a title favorite. It will be interesting to see their path. We don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but mm-hmm. how beat up will they be by the time they get to a best of seven finals?
Yeah. Because they've got a grind upcoming on their schedule. One last thing about Kayla McBride that just kind of, you know, made me giggle a little bit. There was a video in the locker room after the game, and Cheryl Reeve is like celebrating with the team, and she's like, Kayla McBride, 43 points. And everyone's like, yeah, 10 of 14 from three. Yeah. 16 of 21 from the field. Yeah. And then she goes, zero defensive rebounds. And everyone's like, ooh. And it's like, leave it to Cheryl to even on a 43-point day, a career day for Kayla McBride, she still gets reminded that she still wasn't doing quite enough defensively. So
I want to
the Cheryl Reeve magic there.
I love that. I want to make one little comment on that.
What?
I think that's super fun. I think that's a great coaching thing. I think that's an amazing little social clip. And I think it's important, based on what we talked about earlier, imagine if that were Steph White and the Fever and what people would have said
a good point
about that in terms of Caitlin or anyone else. And I think that's the difference we're talking about, just to bring us back. Like, that should be a fun little thing. Like, rebounding is important, especially if you have a coach who said, like, you need to do that. It can just be that much, like a funny little thing. That's all.
It's just not that serious.
It's not that serious.
It's a fun, we know Cheryl Reeve and the way, like, she's a tough coach. She coaches hard. She emphasizes defense. And, like, that little lighthearted moment is, like, just a fun example of that.
It's not that serious.
I've said that so many times when it comes to the W, my commentary on the W and some of the reaction that I've gotten. I'm like, it's just literally not that serious. It's a fun little observation that I had. And I would say, hey, winning cures everything. People laugh about things that you say when you're winning and they hate it when you're losing. The funny thing about that is the Indiana Fever are fourth in the WNBA standings and very comfortably in a playoff spot. So it's like, my goodness, what more does the woman need to do? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
We'll move on to another winner of the week. Now, look, the Washington Mystics are coming off of their first loss after a 7-game win streak. They will have a rematch with the Las Vegas Aces on Thursday evening. I believe that's a 10 o'clock Eastern time tip. But the Mystics did go on. I know. I'm already tired. The Mystics did go on a 7-game winning streak. And in the process, they acquired Benaja Laney-Hamilton off of waivers. I love this Mystics team, knowing that they probably don't have a championship ceiling with how young they are. Their average age is probably like, what, 22? But they bring in Benaja Laney-Hamilton on this heater when they found ways to win, when they had that 20-point comeback against Dallas, when they've proven that they can win in so many different ways. And then they bring in somebody with a decade of experience, championship experience of Benaja Laney-Hamilton. It looked like such a... just a smart move and clearly addressing, hey, we are a team that knows that we have a high ceiling and we just need a little bit more of a veteran presence in the locker room.
I like it. I love it, actually, for that reason alone. I don't know their average age, but they have 11 players in their first or second years. 8 are rookies. That is wild. Michaela Anyanwede, 5 years of experience. That was their vet. 5 years. Imagine being 5 years into your career. And now I guess you could say, like, maybe you have a 10-year career, 12-year career, whatever. You beat the average if you're in for 5 years. But certainly you're not, like, shouldn't be leading
not
a
like
team.
A vet.
Yeah, at 5 years. Shakira Austin has 4. So I love that you bring someone in who is experienced in this league, has bounced around. She's a journey woman. So she understands that aspect of it, too, has been in a lot of different locker rooms. This is not someone as meaningful as she is to the Liberty. She's been a couple different places. Championship experience, you know, and especially someone like B, who had to take on a different role. And I remember early on during the super team era where they add all these players to win a championship and they eventually do. She told us that it was difficult. You know, she did have to change some roles. And at the time she wasn't ready to talk about it, but to go through that experience and then join a young team like this and be able to share that, to say that it might look different than you thought it would look to win a championship. That is so important, especially in a league like the WNBA. It's a great move by the Mystics as they see what they can do in the playoffs this year. And again, I don't think they're going to win a championship either. They're just not to that level in a league that has so much elite talent right now.
Right.
But this is the kind of playoff experience you want with a leader like B, so that you can get there in a couple of years.
That's okay. Like, I don't think anybody was going into the season saying it is championship or bust for the Mystics. I mean, that would have been ridiculous.
Wild if they were.
That. Wild if you were. But I thought it was, hey, make the playoffs and see how interesting things can get. And I am a firm believer in, and I think Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs just shut down this thought process entirely. But I still am very much so a believer that in order to win a championship, you have to knock on the door of one for a few years. You have to learn how to win in the postseason. You have to, I mean, because the level of physicality, the speed of the game, it just gets ramped up that much more in the playoffs. And sometimes you just have to be baptized by fire a little bit before you know, oh, okay, this is what's expected of me. This is the level of play in the postseason. This is how difficult it is physically and mentally in the postseason. So sometimes you have to learn that first before you can finally breakthrough. So if the Mystics can get that with Sonia and Kiki in their second years, Georgia Amore in her rookie season, Lauren Betts in her rookie season, and Cody McMahon having a coming out party, especially against the Dallas Wings, 10-point fourth quarter off the bench, wasn't even on the scouting report famously. But so many pieces of this young core, if they're able to get that postseason experience this early in their careers, well, then that makes the ceiling for the Washington Mystics over the next 5 to 10 years that much higher. And it makes, you know, betting on the future of the Washington Mystics that much more of a safe bet.
We completely overlook Sonia Citron. The first 2 years that she's had are just incredible. She's another player that I don't want to say under the radar because everyone knows who she is, but certainly amidst all this noise is not getting talked about enough. You mentioned Cody McMahon. She spoke about B, I think this morning, Wednesday morning. She said, I would say, honestly, she came in as if this is her squad. And that's what you need. She said she's adjusting really well. She's a vet, so the IQ is already there. And she talked about how B was already instilling confidence in her. Benaja's been there, what, maybe a week? And this is already happening. You like to see it. And we've talked so much about the Mystics, but also for Benaja, her last however many months in New York clouded in a lot of mystery and secrecy, I think, even with Chris DeMarco, the head coach in New York, talking about her leaving. I think there are a lot of questions about if she even fit into the plans for this year, how everything played out. New York parts ways with her, lets her go completely, doesn't get anything out of her for the trade deadline. In the years to come, I think we'll hear a lot about what that was like and what exactly happened. But for Benaja to now be in a place that really wants her to maybe see some playing time, good for her to kind of get that new view and get out. As much as she enjoyed New York and as much as her New York teammates speak and spoke so highly about her in the past week.
And credit to Benaja for embracing that role, because she's been in New York with Sabrina, Jonquil Jones, Brianna Stewart, I mean, some of the best players in this league on one of the most loaded rosters in the WNBA, a team that's talked about in the championship conversation, you know, over the last several years. It's not always easy to go from that to now you're a leader. You are, your role on this team is to be a veteran presence, to be kind of that sounding board, to be that player that supports the players around her. It's a different role than she's been asked to play in New York. It's a different kind of ecosystem for a team, but it's one that all reporting sounds like she's embracing wholeheartedly. So good for her on that, and good for the Washington Mystics for making what I think was a really smart acquisition. Last thing that I want to hit on before we catch up with our friend Alicia Gray, the Atlanta Dream, we did have the Team USA roster announced. We have Aaliyah Boston, Paige Beckers, Caitlin Clark, Nafisa Collier, Kalia Copper, Chelsea Gray, Ryan Howard, Kelsey Plum, Angel Reese, Brianna Stewart, Asia Wilson, Jackie Young. Surely a star-studded Team USA team that we'll see in the FIBA World Cup coming up later in the fall. But one glaring omission from the team was Sabrina Ionescu, who was on that 2022 gold medal World Cup team. She was not on this year's team. We didn't get a whole lot of clarity on exactly why. Sue Bird did speak on some of the omissions. She didn't give a definitive answer. My first initial reaction was Sabrina was hurt. She wants to take the World Cup break just to kind of recover. But all reporting says that it was not a decision that was up to her. We also seen Nafisa Collier on the roster, somebody who was also recovering from an injury earlier this season. In your opinion, Cass, Why no Sabrina on this year's World Cup team?
It's interesting and tough, to General Manager Sue Bird's point. I think what you're seeing, not I think, what you're seeing in the W quite clearly is an influx of guard talent. I do wonder if part of the decision is because it's a World Cup and not an Olympics, you get some of these younger players experience right now. So Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, those are players who for a long time we've known are going to be national senior team players for Team USA. Yeah. This is an opportunity, especially given the WNBA careers they've already had, to get on the roster. And so now you have two guards left. You look at a Chelsea Gray, she kind of steps into the Sue Bird role, the veteran guard leadership there. So now you have one left. And what do you do about it? Kelsey Plum has been having an incredible season. If you're the general manager, maybe you feel like she just fits better there than Sabrina does. It will be interesting, though, as the national team moves forward. You know, the Olympics are in 2 years. What does that roster look like? Because by that point, Olivia Miles will probably also be in the conversation. And maybe Chelsea Gray at that point falls out of the conversation. I don't know. But you are seeing so many guards. This is the same thing we talked about with All-Star. We're going to have the same conversation for all WNBA awards. There are so many good guards and simply not enough spots.
Yeah. You mentioned another name that was kind of floated around as an omission was Olivia Miles. I seen Kelsey Mitchell's name also kind of floated around as, how in the world could she not be on this team? My initial thought was, well, Olivia Miles and Kelsey Mitchell just don't have a lot of Team USA experience. Olivia Miles has never been in a World Cup, has never been to an Olympics, was not at the national team camp this past summer. Kelsey Mitchell as well has not really been in the national team mix. One thing that Super did mention when she was asked about the roster construction was, it's not just about individuals, it's about how does this team work together as a unit. So inserting one of those two or two of those players that don't have experience playing together in that ecosystem, in that unit, it would be a little bit of an awkward fit. So those I understood.
Olivia Miles, I agree, was not a snub to me. She hadn't been in the pool. It just didn't seem likely, especially based on previous selections, even though we have some new selection ways, that she was going to be in it. To your point about how the team fits together, you hear this from Olympians all of the time. Your role on Team USA is often not your role with your WNBA team. Even if you're a top five player in the league, it looks a little bit different. And so how do the pieces fit together? What does Sue Bird and others see in these camps that works, that doesn't work, that jives, that doesn't jive? It's not simply, to your point, these are the best 12 players right now that we're taking to Germany. These are the best 12 players based on position that play well together, that can win us gold. And on that note, we're going to get way more into the World Cup as we get closer. But Stewie has already talked about how it could be getting more difficult to win, not only because other countries are simply improving, but because these players in the U.S. are no longer going overseas in their WNBA off-seasons to play. So they're not playing in the international system with international rules anymore. Might be a little trickier, but we'll get more into that as we get closer. We don't have to waste time on that now.
That is a fascinating point, though.
It is.
That maybe one of the unintended consequences of some of these domestic off-season leagues, an unintended consequence of players now making more money. They don't have to go overseas anymore, and they don't have that same level of international experience. Fascinating discussion that you mentioned. We will continue to
put
get into.
Pin in it.
Put a pin in that one. Put a bookmark in that one. And then we will revisit once we get closer to the World Cup. But without further ado, we have to get to friend of the show, Alicia Gray, Atlanta Dream guard, who joins us coming up next. Hoops 360 is so honored and so excited to welcome in Atlanta Dream guard, four-time WNBA All-Star, Alicia Gray, to the show. Alicia, thank you so much for your time. We're going to talk about how the season is going, hear about your collaboration with Nike. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first of all, you are coming off of a win over the Toronto Tempo. You had 15 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. How different does this season feel, this team feel, versus maybe some previous teams that you've played on?
I feel like this season we're more of a complete team. I feel like we have all the pieces that we need to help put us over the top where we're able to continue making a deep playoff run and compete for a championship. So I feel like once we're able to put it all together and consistently string some wins in a row, I think that will keep us being great and have us have momentum going to the playoffs.
What do you feel like to this point has kept you from being able to have that consistency and string it all together? I know there's been some moments too where your offense has gone a little quiet in games.
Mainly going into the second half or not starting off with the first punch. I know going back to the Washington game, Washington definitely punched us in the mouth first, and then clawing back is not always easy. So I think with us continuing to come out and throwing a punch first and then having that second half surge and keeping up the same momentum that we had in the first will continue helping us win and playing a complete 40 minutes.
You and Ryan have done such a wonderful job of being a dynamic duo offensively for Atlanta. And you look at Angel and Jordan, both also averaging double-digit points. How are you all, what is all your relationship like and the culture of the locker room like to be able to have so much offensive production when there is only one basketball?
I feel like we just enjoy each other. We like to see everyone be successful, and I just feel like we play off each other so well. You can see it on many nights on the stat sheet where it's enough points for everybody and we just play together, and it doesn't matter who's having the hot night or if you have an off night, like the support always remains the same.
So much of that chemistry you all have talked about comes from doing stuff off of the court and being together like that. I know you were also together in Unrivaled, but this season, is there anything, any like special times that you've had at a certain barbecue or a boating outing or your bowling or something?
I think it was earlier in the season we went to this game show. So it was like this building. They did like a game show. It was kind of like Family Feud in a way. And they divided us in like 3 teams. And it was so much fun. So it was like a whole game show thing. We did that for team bonding.
That's awesome. That's who won?
Awesome. My team won.
Of course.
Obviously. What were some of the questions?
It was like different themes. Like you had like, it was a lot like Atlanta based. So it was like categories of like buildings in Atlanta or like rappers from Atlanta. So it was just like a lot of like Atlanta based questions.
That's you would win awesome. That one. Yeah.
That is awesome. I love that. And, you know, you talked about some of the missing pieces. Maybe fair to say that one of those missing pieces that's kind of changed things for you all this year is Angel Reese. What have you learned about her now being in the same locker room, being teammates with her?
She just plays so hard. I mean, she's a great person, fun to be around, like always positive, always hyping the team up. And every day she comes in ready to work, and she carries that energy about herself that you want to match. Like you don't want to be left behind and not have that same energy. So she gives you that energy where you want to work hard and play hard every night.
Another one of those is Bree Jones. You start the season without her, but now you have her back, kind of one of the rare teams that seems to be getting healthier late in the season. What has incorporating her been like for this team with some deep playoff aspirations?
It's amazing. The timing couldn't be any better. I mean, Bree is such a beast in the paint. It's just like we throw it in. We like go score every time. Like every time I pass Bree the ball, like I think she's going to score. So just having her, and also she's a great passer as well. She knows like she gets double a lot. So she has a very, very high IQ as well. And she wants to see you do great on the court as well.
Cass mentioned deep playoff aspirations. That's the expectation that you and your entire team have set. So let's fast forward to the postseason. Let's just say the Atlanta Dream win a WNBA championship. In your opinion, it will be because of what?
Because we played a complete 40-minute game. We stopped making the same like small mistakes that we made in the beginning of the season, and we just played hard every night. Once we was able to keep a lead, we kept the team down the whole game, was able to complete the win.
Before we get to the playoffs, we have the World Cup break, which is always an interesting time. First, what are your plans for World Cup break?
I'm just going to relax, chill, and go golfing.
Good for you.
While you have teammates with Team USA and with other teams, how are you guys planning on using that time as a team? Because I know in the past, it's been a time to build chemistry, or for those who stay back, you know, kind of work on the game, or like you said, get rest. What are the team plans in that regards?
We get a little break, which is nice, especially because coming back from World Cup, you have like a couple games, then you're right into playoffs. So I feel like that break will be well needed. So we have a couple days off before we get back to it.
Do you have a personal favorite golf course?
Not really. I done golfed on so many golf courses that I can't choose a favorite.
Are you a regular at one? You don't have to tell us which one, but like you show up and they know who you are.
Yeah.
Roll out the red carpet treatment. Good for you, because I'm sure golf in Atlanta in August is not the most comfortable activity, especially if it happens in the middle of the afternoon in sunlight and humidity. So good for you to be able to find some time to get out there. Look, there has been so much conversation about this league, some of it about, you know, the amazing basketball that we're getting on the court, some of it a lot of off the court conversations. And one of those off the court conversations is a lot of people saying that that WNBA leadership needs to do more, that WNBA leadership needs to take a different approach. For you, as somebody who's played in this league for a long time, you've seen a lot of basketball, you've seen so much change and so much growth in this league. How do you think WNBA leadership can better advocate for the players?
I think the biggest thing is just having players feel safe. I mean, you have a lot of stuff going on within like the social media world and in life in general, and with eyes on you, more security is required. So I think just more of an aspect of just making the players feel safe.
I noticed this at All-Star. It did feel like there's more fans outside of the hotel. There were more fans outside of the Obama Presidential Center. Are you feeling that, you know, you go about your everyday and there does seem to be more people around you who know who you are and are clocking who you are?
You just have to move smart. Just knowing that more eyes are on you. Just watch what you do, watch you say in public, because you never know like who you're talking to or what eyes are on you. So it's just a sense of just knowing how to move and move smart.
What is the biggest difference? Yeah. What is the biggest difference between the way that things feel now, today, in 2026 versus maybe your first couple of years in the league?
I'll say the money increase is nice. just watching everybody get paid nice paychecks. I mean, we worked so hard on it. And I mean, it's also kudos to the players before our time. Like, they really built a path for us. Like, they walked so we could run. So it's just really nice. Like, when the new CBA came out and with the pay increase, like, that was really nice.
Did you ever put to use your three-point and skills monies toward anything?
I invested it. Okay. I invested it.
Good for you. You are a smarter business person than I am, because I would have been like, shoes, purse, clothes, go find something fun with it. Alicia, you have collaborated with Nike on a special edition Nike Fly Free Shield colorway, your longtime favorite frame. I think you have them. on right now as we speak. There is Gaga Leash Night spotlighting your iconic on the court look and nickname Gaga Leash on Monday, August 10th at the Atlanta Dream Game. But that is not where your collaborations end. You also have your own Nike A2 slept on player exclusive sneaker thanks to your South Carolina teammate and your close friend, Asia Wilson. Tell us a little bit about those things that you have going on.
I started the goggles. Gaga Leash Night was amazing. Just seeing all the support of the people having the goggles, and now that the goggles, like, they're officially sold out, so it's cool that now people get to wear the same exact goggles I got. Like, it's the same technology. Like, it's literally the goggles that I wore on the court. And with the PE collaboration, I mean, that's amazing. Well, with that going to retail on the 15th, I'm so excited. I'm just grateful that Asia, like, allowed me to do it. Like, I've been supporting her and wearing her shoes. And I told her, like, as long as I was in the W, like, her shoes are the only shoes that I'm wearing. So when Nike came to me with the opportunity to create my own PE to go to retail, I was excited. And then with the goggles, they told me those going to retail. I mean, it's just so amazing.
How long did you have to kind of prod Asia to get the shoe? And can you take us into that conversation with her about if it was a foul or not? Because there are a lot of theatrics going on between you two.
I never really have to, like, Asia pretty much gives me, like, whatever I want. Like, I don't like be asking her. Like, it's just like here, like, that's how awesome a friend she is. Like, I don't go to her and be like, oh, let me get these and these. Like, she's literally like here, like, you can have this, you can have this, you can have this. But then also me being a Nike athlete as well, like, it makes things a lot easier. And as far as the foul call, the refs say it's a foul, it's a foul.
Done. Don't need anymore.
No follow-up necessary on that one. Love to see the Gamecocks supporting Gamecocks there. Alicia, you've had such an electric season on the court. You have so many exciting things happening on the court. Good luck with the rest of the season. We're excited to watch what the rest of the year holds for the Atlanta Dream. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate Alicia Gray for stopping by the program. To go hit the golf course with her. Hey, you're talking about the bug that she's been catching from playing all of this golf. Good for her.
We became pretty heavy golfers. I should have asked for, like, I don't know, ball advice. Like, what are your favorite equipments?
Ooh. My husband's a big golfer, and he swears by the Costco golf balls.
Oh,
I don't know if that's just because he loves Costco or because they really are great. I don't play golf. Enjoy sitting on the golf cart and reading my book while he plays, but.
We're going to work on that, Caroline. I like the golf balls.
Just sit and get a tan.
I like the golf balls that are colorful, though. Although, ooh. I was on the course last week. I hadn't been to the city course in a while. Teed off on the first hole, and it's like kind of a little raised. It's an easy hole, but I just completely lost that bright yellow ball and moved on.
Is yellow the go-to?
No. The go-to is like orange. Unless it's fall, like, then you can't use orange. Then you're going to lose it. So you got to use like purple.
Ooh, that's a great point. We should have asked her that.
We should have asked Alicia. Alicia, I hope you had a better day on the course than I did.
And I hope that you are enjoying, whether it's pink or purple or green or blue or whatever fun color it might be. Hope she's enjoying it. But do appreciate her stopping by the show, because Alicia Gray is just as great of a human being off the court that she is on the court. And that is a pretty high bar. We've got some great matchups coming up in the W over the next few days. On Thursday, we've got a rematch of Mystics and Aces. The Aces snapped the Mystics 7-game winning streak. We'll see if the Mystics can get their lick back against the big bad Las Vegas Aces. Again, that game is on Thursday night. On Friday, we've got Wings and Fever. We've got AZ Fudd and Paige Beckers taking on Caitlin Clark and Kelsey Mitchell. Another battle of the heavyweights there. And then, speaking of some heavyweights, the Lynx and Aces on Saturday at 8 o'clock Eastern time. Please, Becky, give us a full squad for that one. We deserve it. After not getting to see Jackie and Chelsea in Asia against the Liberty this past weekend. Which, let me just say, I don't have an issue with Becky. Becky's doing what's best for her squad. But it is basketball is more fun when we get to see Asia Wilson playing it. Wings and Valkyries on Monday. Dream and Aces on Tuesday. Cass, it feels like day after day after day, we are getting incredible matchups in this league.
It is technically Rivals Week. the second annual Rivals Week. Wings and Fever is going to be fun. You know, I wrote last year with Paige and Caitlin, especially if they stay with their teams. This is just going to be, I think, two really good teams in the future. But yeah. Lynx Aces is where it's at. Circle it, stay inside, or go out to a bar and watch this game on a Saturday night. This could be a finals preview. These feel like, I mean, the Lynx are definitely the top team in the league, but
yeah.
That 2-3-4, maybe you could adjust. The Aces are definitely one of the best teams in the league, though.
Feels like two teams that are pretty safe bets to make long runs in the postseason. I at least feel confident saying that today. So, of course, we will be back next week to break down all of that action that we see in the WCAS.
I need to interrupt you.
Please.
I'm going to take this over. We will be back next week. We'll recap all of those games, everything that happened in the WNBA. Thank you for joining us on Hoops 360. I'm Cassandra Negley. This is Caroline Fenton. You can see her every morning on Yahoo Sports Daily from 9 to 11 a.m. here on our channels on YouTube. Fitz is also back. They are covering so much of the W lately, and the football season is coming up. So check that out every morning. Start your day with it.
Thanks, Kat. It's the best hijack ever.
The best.